Happy Friday, Bible study.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hope you're ready for a great weekend. This is Bishop Clark. We're going to get into our study of chapter 10 in just a few moments. It's not a very long chapter, just 11 verses, so we have a little time to kill. I want to encourage you, as you're taking some time to look at the examples of the various time charts that are available, what you'll find is they're talking about prophecies that are not mentioned in the book of Revelation, but they are mentioned in the book of Daniel. I refer you to the 2300 days prophecy, the 12 and 95 day prophecy, the 70 weeks, 7 weeks, and the 3.5 times, which brings our collage or our colliding of all the prophecies into the charts, pointing into when the time of the last days will occur. And of course, Revelation takes place really into the manifestation of the time of trouble moving forward into the return of Christ to redeem the faithful from the earth, and then the 1,000-year millennium period of reign, and then the third coming where he returns in judgment, and also with the new city of Jerusalem to rest on a new heaven and a new earth where we will live forever in communion with God. Amen. So I just encourage you to continue your study. I don't know if we'll ever get into Daniel per se. We may have to later on, depending on how the Spirit leads me. So I'm taking that under advisement. But just preparing your hearts in case we have to go there. Amen. So Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hands a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. So here in the first three verses, we have the appearance of another angel. Now, I just wanted to double check, so I had to do some research myself just to make sure. Because the depiction as we read it, you would almost want to say that this is Jesus Christ. You have him coming down in a cloud with a rainbow about his head. A cloud, of course, we know that Jesus was received in the clouds, and when he returns again, he will return in the cloud. The rainbow is representing of a covenant of God that he would not destroy the earth with water. His face is as the sun of righteousness, and his feet are pillars of fire. And so, you know, the Bible has a depiction of Christ. His feet look like they are burnt brass. And so it's easy for us to go, oh, this has to be Jesus Christ. And I'm pretty sure it has been taught that way in seminaries and churches throughout. But it's important in the book of Revelation that we realize that God is identifying Christ specifically and doesn't hide who he is. And he would never say that Jesus Christ was an angel. He wouldn't want to lead us into confusion. So this angelic person is probably a very high-ranking angel, and probably an angel that is sent forth for a particular purpose, and that particular purpose is to bring judgment upon the earth. Having the book in his hand, which Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was worthy, has opened the seals, and we've already gone through the seven seals and the seven trumpets. And he has a very loud voice of judgment, seven judgments, seven thunders that are going to come upon the earth as a result of having this book completely open and these things, these creatures issuing out of the bottomless pit going forth. Verse 4. And when the seven thunders uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Wow. Wow. So here we have Apostle John, angelic visitation in the spirit, seeing a manifestation of an angel appearing in judgment, hearing precise messages, instructions, declarations of the destruction of the earth that are so profound and literal and intense that as he goes to write them, a voice from heaven, which is probably Jesus Christ or even the Father, telling him, don't write it. Do not write the messages that you've heard. The Bible recognized that he did hear it clearly. Tells him, do not write it, to seal it. Verse 5. And the angel which I saw upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that liveth forever and ever, created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and in the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So here we have the angel, and the angel is swearing upon God. We don't know if he's swearing upon the Father or the Son, because they are both described as being the creator of heaven and earth and the creator of all things in heaven, all things on the earth, all things underneath the earth. But he declares that this is the end of time, that time has ended at this point. There are no more calendars, there are no more days, there are no more weeks, there are no more months, etc., etc. Time that has reigned from the creation of Adam has just ended. What we understand now of days, sun, mornings, evenings, noondays, all of that has come to an end. After this event has happened, time stops. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seven angels, which he saw begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished, and he has declared to his servant the prophets. Prophet. So this encompasses everything that's written by people in the Bible. that the mysteries of God, everything written from Genesis, including Revelation, finished, done. Every prophecy fulfilled. Everything that should happen has happened. Time is ended. So we know that this is not a period that we're talking about prophetically where there's still sin on the earth. It's all over. When this angel does this proclamation on having a foot in the earth and a foot in the sea, he is releasing all of the judgment of God. But it's completely done. This is why I also said that the rest of Revelation, really from 11 to the end of the book, is really re-clarification or a re-magnification of what's going to occur during the time of those seals being opened, during the time of those trumpets sounding. Amen. So keep in mind as we move forward, everything that God has declared, he's just going to clarify how it's going to appear, how it's going to show up. Amen. So we're about to have to go all the way. When we get started in chapter 11 moving forward, we're going to have to go all the way back. And then we'll see the progression of how prophecy is going to work and how these things are going to emerge on the earth. And I'm trying not to give away anything in the future that we're going to talk about. I'm trying to say it in a way that I'm not giving away what's coming. But just prepare yourself for that. Amen? All right. Verse number 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. All right, so this is not the voice of the angel. This is the voice from heaven. And said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Verse 10. And I took the little book of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I did eat it, belly was bitter. All right, so he's told from the voice of heaven, from the voice of God, to take and consume, to ingest, to make the book part of his being. All right, amen? We're supposed to do that with Scripture. The Scripture is always referred to the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, we believe that the Bible is something that proceeded from the mouth of God. The Bible says a good man wrote as the Spirit gave utterance. So we believe that the Word of God is something that came directly from God's mouth, and then man wrote as he heard it. At least that's what I believe. Maybe you don't believe. I shouldn't say we. That's what I believe. All right. So, and of course, there's always a little mistwist here and there because, you know, if you ever played that game where, you know, you tell me a secret in my ear that I tell the next person, and we go around a circle to see how the story changed by the time it got to the end. And sometimes there are things that are dropped off, and sometimes there are things that are added to it, but the core message is the same. You know, Bob got fired yesterday. Bob went into work, he got fired yesterday. Bob got fired the other day. You know, and it just goes on and on and on. Well, the same is true with the Bible. That's why there are so many times where the Bible retells the story. When you read the Old Testament, there's a retelling. We have four Gospels in the New Testament, a retelling. And what's funny is they're not all precisely the same. Some have additions that the other ones omitted in the telling of the story. And some didn't tell that story at all. As long as it wasn't a story worth explaining or sharing to some of the writers of the four Gospels. And so we write based upon what we have heard, what we perceive and understand in our spirit. Same is true with preaching. Those of you who may be moving forward in ministry, you know, you're going to hear a word from God, and it's not always going to manifest in you literally the way you heard it. If there's a difference between English and the language of the Spirit. Amen? All right. I'm going to refer you back to someone a little bit more prophetic than I am. I'm not going to go all the way into a prophetic issue, although there are some of you in this class who have a definite prophetic gift. Amen. So he's told to eat the book, and the book will be sweet in his mouth and bitter in his stomach. All right. So it's sweet to know that we have reached the point where we're going to be forever with the Lord. It's sweet to know that God has been justified, that sin has been eradicated. But there's a bitterness because there are people who didn't make it. There's a destruction coming of the entire planet. You know, when we talk about things that are going to be consumed with hellfire, sometimes I think people don't understand that that includes houses and cars and banks and schools and people and animals and trees and natural reserves and natural parks and the water is going to be consumed with fire. You know, the element of the air will be consumed with fire. Everything that we see about us will burn, will be consumed by the fiery judgment of God. That's why John is going to say, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Even the heavens will be burnt. We read earlier that the third part of the heavens would be destroyed. A third of the stars, a third of the sun, a third of the moon would be destroyed as well, which really talks about, you know, objects falling from what we call outer space and hitting these elements and literally having physical impact on the moon, impact on the earth. See, when it happens, you know, people don't want to hear it, but when it starts to happen, you're going to want to make sure that you are covered in the blood, full with the Holy Spirit of God, because it's not going to be a casual thing. It won't hurt you. But when you see your neighbor up the street who has always been saying there is no God, and a meteor goes to his house and kills him and his wife or husband and their small children, the love of God that's in you is going to respond accordingly to that tragedy that you will have to witness. And you'll be a little busy, because a lot of us will be being pursued by the government because we refuse to take the mark of the beast. And we'll get into that as we move forward. But this is going to be a very traumatic time for this planet, for this creation. Amen. So there's a sweetness knowing that we have been saved, we have been redeemed, but there is a bitterness because everything that we have known in this realm is being destroyed eternally. Amen. Which brings us to our last verse. of this chapter, verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and many nations and many tongues and kings. What this is just a simple proclamation that what John is writing is a prophetic testimony that is going before the entire world. The fact that we are reading it, we are fulfillment of this verse. The blessing that we saw for people who read this book in chapter 1, we are part of this fulfillment of this prophecy that John is going to be going before many people, many nations, many tongues, many kings. John himself may not have understood. He may have thought he was going to get off the Isle of Patmos and then do a lecture tour, be in Barnes & Noble finding copies of his book. I kid, but it's funny. We do not know the impact that God can use on us and how far-reaching it is. I was talking to a ministry colleague the other day about Smith Wigglesworth, who's a famous evangelist around the turn of the century, 1800s and 1900s here in the U.S. and in Europe, and extraordinary things he was able to do through the Spirit, including raising people from the dead, prophecy, preached fire and brimstone, holiness or hell. He was a Wesleyanite under the school of John Wesley, so he was one of the first forms of Pentecostalism, you know. Just a fiery guy, and I was like, man, have you ever read some of the stuff he did? And here's a, you know, he's a seasoned pastor, and he's like, who is he again? And, you know, we have an obligation as believers, especially in these last days, to acquaint ourselves with those who have done the work before us. In the same way his legacy is still speaking to men and thousands, tens of thousands of men and women going through Bible school right now, same way some of us may have an impact. It may not be tens of thousands of Bible students, but it may be 10 or 20 people who are related to you, who you see at work, who you see at the doctor's office, the dental office, who you see at the grocery store, who may not even know that they need to hear a word from God. But God is ready to issue a word through you. Will what you say be exactly what you feel? Spirit, I mean, you might feel God tugging at you in a way that it brings tears to your eyes to try to convey how much God loves them and wants to be a part of their life. And you may have to say the message over and over and over and over and over and over again, and they still don't get it. And sometimes it will be a sweetness, and sometimes there will be a bitterness. But our job is to share God's word and to be used of him to reach the lost, to reach those who are dying, reach those who don't know that they can have a better form of relationship with God through simply asking him to come in, to fortify, to change, to be more. You know, we have to pray these prayers ourselves. God, be more. Be larger in me. Shine forth clearer in me. Give me the right word. Put that right smile on my face, that right twinkle in my eye. Let me share your word. Let me touch a life for you today. John may not know the millions the billions, that his obedience to write this book, blessing and saving. But I believe one day he will know. And some of us may even have the ability to go up to Apostle John one day in the new heaven or in the new earth and say, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for writing the hard truth that straightened me out, that got me out of my situation, that helped me break that stronghold over my life, that changed me, that I could be better, that I could be saved. And we might point to those who are trying to thank us because we have been obedient and faithful. And say, see, these following me, these are here because of you, John. These are here because of you, Apostle Paul. These are here because of you, Apostle Peter, Apostle James. These are here because of you, Matthew, because of you, Luke, because of you, Mark. Ultimately, they're all there because of Jesus. Because Jesus died that we might live, and he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, who is the source of all inspiration. Amen. Well, this has been chapter 10. Sorry I went off on sermon with you. Just feeling a little unction to just tell you that your living is not in vain. Keep pressing, keep believing, keep striving, keep studying, keep moving forward. God is going to change lives through you. Amen. Father God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this study today. And as we move now from chapter 10 into 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, and we see what's coming upon the earth, help us to understand the symbols and the creatures and the empires and the ruling classes and those who are in authority, and what you will do to redeem your faithful. Guide us and keep us this day and forevermore. Thank you for loving us, Father, and we love you back. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.